When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
TFA fam, welcome back in. Today we're going to be discussing the week 7 wide receiver rankings. And if you already watched our running back rankings video, you already know how we feel about this week. But the wide receivers are here to save us. They're here to lift us up, lift our spirits up, because we got the good wide receivers. Yes, we are missing some because we have 6 bye weeks. But the rest of the wide receivers, we have a strong wide receiver core this week. So goodness is coming. And it's not all negative, okay? Get the negative out of here. Negative, bad. Negative, bad. Bring in the good. Anyways, so let's just go ahead and jump right into it. We're going to start with our top 12 wide receiver rankings. But before we do, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button for future content, okay? Really helps us grow. Really appreciate everybody checking out the videos. Or if you want to jump into our Discord, into our fantasy football community, link in the description below. But let's just go ahead and jump into it. Strap it down. Lock it in. Let's roll. Top 12 wide receivers this week. Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Hopkins, DJ Moore, AJ Brown. Love to see him back. Love to see him return. Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin, Jamar Chase, Deebo Samuel, Antonio Brown. Absolutely love it. And Marquise Hollywood Brown. Boys, where are we starting at this week?
I just want to talk about AJ Brown real quick. It was good to see him back. You know, I'm glad he made it through the episode with Chipotle. If you guys are South Park fans, hopefully he had some Chipotle way to help deal with those bloodstains in his underwear. But I digress. Just a nugget to keep in mind going forward with him. Going into week 6 and the games that AJ Brown played, he had been playing 80% of his snaps on the outside. But in the Monday night game, he kicked into the slot for 45% of his snaps. It was almost an even split. I think it was 23 snaps on the outside and 19 in the slot. So good to see them using A.J. Brown in the slot as well. So again, if anything comes up where there's a Trey White type of situation in the future, they will kick him to the inside to get him more favorable matchups.
Kev, you talked about in the running backs video, Miles Sanders being one of your biggest buy lows going forward. I'm going to say that's A.J. Brown here for the wide receivers, because best finish wide receiver 20, Julio Jones, just seemingly having an injury week after week, hamstring now. Is he going to miss multiple weeks? We'll find out. But I think A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill eventually figure this out. They start throwing more passing touchdowns. Derrick Henry's touchdowns slow down just a little bit, and we start seeing him go off and become this wide receiver one that we expected. So please go out and try and buy low on A.J. Brown before it is too late. So I love that call from Cody. The guy I'm going to talk about is Calvin Ridley, another probably great buy low candidate, because we haven't seen him put it together, right? He misses the trip to London in week 5, bye week in week 6. And this guy has just been targeted a galore, right? He's only had one touchdown, but he has 43 targets through the 4 weeks that he's played, at least 7 catches in his past 3 games. He gets the banged up Miami secondary that we've hit video after video after video. We are just attacking this Miami secondary, which probably means they play fantastic. But if they do go as we expect, I think Calvin Ridley is going to be that main beneficiary. And I really do think that he starts to become that wide receiver one that we saw once we noted that Julio was leaving town. Calvin Ridley ascends to that wide receiver one status that he really was when Julio was there. But I do really like Calvin Ridley. I think he regains that status. And I have him, I believe, at wide receiver 4 this week. So I'm very, very excited about what he can do in a good matchup. Calvin Ridley, top 5 wide receiver. Lock it in.
Love that. Yeah, I love the A.J. Brown call as well. You know, the Chiefs' defense has not been particularly one to stop. But I will say, one of the issues, the biggest issues they had in terms of allowing explosive plays, because that was their has been their Achilles heel, was Dirty Dan Sorensen, who just is like a turnstile back there. But they actually moved him out. Last week, they inserted Juan Thornhill, which was their third-round pick. I think 3 years ago, he tore his ACL towards the end of this, his rookie season. And last year, he never really took him a while to kind of get back involved. But they installed him in, back there at safety. And he did an excellent job last week of eliminating any really big threat. They only had the one play to Ricky Seals-Jones, and that was about it. And so we'll see if this defense can make it work and continue. But regardless of that, A.J. Brown is too damn good, and I love this matchup for him against Kansas City. They're going to have to throw the ball more than what they typically do. So I do like A.J. Brown. I want to hit on Ja'Marr Chase. Listen, Ja'Marr Chase has been fan-fucking-tastic through the first 6 weeks of the season, right? Which is great because, you know, I mean, there was a lot of people not real sure about Ja'Marr Chase in the preseason, right? There was all the drops, you know, butterfingers and everything else. And not to mention, hey, I said there was some concern. There was some concern, but I never said, oh, the guy's gonna be terrible. He's a bust. That's not what happened. I know Robbie likes to paint a picture like I was like.
You didn't even have him as a wide receiver too. Let's just confirm that you didn't even have him as a wide receiver too. You dropped him outside.
I did, but that's smart. That's process because you have to be fluid. Okay,
you have to take in passes in the preseason.
Take in what all you have. Okay, you can't just just be all willy nilly about it. Okay, and get all wild. You have to keep it going. Okay. So with that, Ja'Marr Chase, we're all back in. We're all back in. Okay, with Ja'Marr Chase, and I'm here to tell you why he is second in market share of air yards. Love to see that. He is seventh in fantasy points per game. Love to see that. He is sixth in yards per route run. Love to see that. 18th in yards after the catch. And he's doing so on a 24% target share. He is fourth in receiving yards, fourth in touchdowns. Absolutely love Ja'Marr Chase. I don't care who they're playing. It's the Ravens. The Ravens secondary is definitely beatable. I love Ja'Marr Chase. And with that rapport with Joe Burrow. So Ja'Marr Chase, to me, has kind of developed into a kind of a weekly top 12 wide receiver now. So wide receiver two, we have Mike Evans, Cortland Sutton, Robert Woods, Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks, Devonta Smith, DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman Jr., Cordarrelle Patterson, Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, and Allen Robinson. Where do you guys want to start here?
So I'll start with Robert Woods, who I think has now finally entered the normal Robert Woods underrated status that he has been in the past three seasons, right? We came into the year, I think he was properly rated for once in his lifetime, and he hasn't quite lived up to it, right? He has not been the safe wide receiver two that we've come to know and love. He's kind of just failed at the yardage, right? The targets and the yardage has not been there, but he has three touchdowns in the 6 weeks that he's played, including two in the last 3 weeks. And we heard Sean McVay say he wants to get Robert Woods more involved. We saw that 2 weeks ago where he got 14 targets, 12 catches, 150 yards. And now we get Matthew Stafford going back and facing his old team in the Detroit Lions. And you guys said it in the quarterback video. I am so excited to see him absolutely destroy the Detroit Lions secondary. And I think that's not only goodness for Cooper Kupp, but I think it's a lot of goodness for Robert Woods. He's not the best buy low, but he is a fantastic buy low because I don't think people are like loving Robert Woods right now. His yardage hasn't been there. The targets aren't there, but I want a wide receiver two on a fantastic offense. And he is scoring touchdowns, which is actually something he's not normally doing, right? We know Robert Woods is the guy that's only had, I think he had six or seven touchdowns 1 year. And other than that, he's been a low touchdown guy. So with Matthew Stafford, he's scoring, he's finding the end zone. And he always has that weekly upside. I really do like him this week. That's the guy that I want to bring to the table as a very, very safe wide receiver too.
I want to hit on Devonta Smith really quick. He might be one of the more unlucky wide receivers that we've seen so far in the league, not named Jacoby Myers. I mean, he's had three touchdowns called back that I can remember just off the top of my head due to penalty. And so, I mean, his numbers should be much better than what they are right now. He's 44th in fantasy points per game with 11.3. But like I said, he only has one touchdown. But I think we'd be talking about something totally different if those touchdowns had not been called back. He's still been solid. He's 7th in air yard share with 42.5%, 15th in total air yards. He's getting receiving 22% of the targets in this offense. So, you know, I think there's a lot to like with Devontae Smith. And, you know, I think he's just been rather unlucky so far to start the season. So we have him kind of as that mid-level wide receiver two this week. And, you know, in a matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders, I think this is a matchup he can exploit. So I like him as well. And then I think Michael Pittman, you know, I know there might be a little concern because last week with T.Y. Hilton back, you know, he only had 5.8 fantasy points, which is his worst week since week one. But they just didn't really have to do a whole lot in that game. They handled that game completely. He ran the fewest routes he's ran all year, but that's because they didn't really need to throw the ball. I believe Carson Wentz, what, only had like 20 passes, 22 pass attempts or something like that, and that game was a very low number. And so he didn't really have to do a whole lot, but he still had three targets, two receptions for 35 yards last week. But, you know, on the season, he has been the alpha in this offense. He's 24th in market share of air yards, 13 fantasy points per game, but he's also, you know, top 26 in yards after the catch, and he's also top 30 in yards per out run as well. So I like Michael Pittman a lot in this matchup against San Francisco. You know, if we like Carson Wentz, I think this is going to be a guy. We'll have to see on T.Y. Hilton if he plays this week, who had a quad injury, and then we also had Paris Campbell kind of open things up for Michael Pittman even more. So love playing him this week as well. At 25, we have Sterling Shepard. 26, we have Jacoby Myers, Julio Jones, Tyler Lockett, Tim Patrick, Odell Beckham, Darnell Mooney, Mecole Hardman, Tyler Boyd, Rondale Moore, Marquez Callaway, and Corey Davis. Wrap around our wide receiver threes. Cody, start us off.
Let's talk about Sterling Shepard. You know, cheating a little bit, I have him as a wide receiver too. Actually, Robbie and I both do a 24. Kev, you're right outside at 26. But in the three full games that Shepard has played this year, he is averaging 11 targets, 8.7 catches, and 94 yards. He only has the one touchdown on the season. But now you're looking at it, you know, we've mentioned this a couple of times with all the injuries that the Giants have. Kadarius Toney is going to miss this week. Slayton is still banged up. Galladay is banged up. There's no reason to think that Shepard won't be in this ballpark once again, going up against this Carolina defense, who is starting to show some chinks in the armor. I still think overall that they are a good defense, but if Shepard is going to be seeing, you know, 9 to 12 targets, something like that, you have to fire him up, and I think you have to feel good about him as a, you know, a back end wide receiver to high end flex kind of play here in week 7.
Yeah, how can we not talk about our guy Tim Patrick? And I feel like I want a better nickname for him, like
Touchdown Tim.
Touchdown Tim Patrick. This guy has 89 yards or a touchdown every single week except for one of his weeks, week 3 against the Baltimore Ravens, who we just saw shut down the Chargers. But this guy, 13 PPR points every single week except for that one week. He's just on fire, and we know Jerry Jeudy is probably not coming back this week, so you can still use him a couple more weeks. When Jerry Jeudy does come back, I'm going to be a little bit more hesitant to start him, but until he does, this is a guy that we have to talk about as a weekly flex because he just gets it done. Sutton has fantastic games the past 2 weeks. Tim Patrick slides in with a fantastic week and a touchdown or two. Right? Like he is just a guy that we need to roll out every single week. A couple other guys that we should probably hit on is Marquez Callaway, going all the way back to week one when Kev was talking about him. We've heard that Michael Thomas will not be back here for week 7. He's probably going to be a couple more weeks. Marquez Callaway, I like Jameis Winston this week, and who is he probably going to be targeting the most in that wide receiver core? Probably Marquez Callaway down the field. Another guy, Mecole Hardman, has been getting more involved the past couple weeks. I think that this is a decent flex option. He's wide receiver 33 for me. And then Rashad Bateman is another guy that I want to highlight. With Sammy Watkins out last week, Rashad Bateman coming off of IR, he worked himself into a decent game. Wasn't fantastic by any means, but he showed that he can play in this league. And I'm excited to see how he ascends with a couple more weeks to get going. And he faces a Cincinnati secondary who, you know, Cincinnati played well the first couple of weeks. They kind of overperformed the first couple of weeks. And now I think they're kind of getting to what we thought, and that they're a defense that I'm not worried about. So I know we have Marquise Brown on one side of the field, and we obviously have Mark Andrews. But this Ravens passing game has really kind of stepped up their volume from 2020, and Lamar Jackson is throwing a lot more. So I think that involves Rashad Bateman a little bit more. And then you guys touched on Rondale Moore. I actually have Christian Kirk a little bit higher. We'll get to him, I'm sure, when we get to the guys outside of the top 36, but I just wanted to note that name as a guy that I have as a top 36 play right now.
Yeah, a few guys that I want to talk about is, well, one, can't go a show without talking about Jacoby Myers. Can we figure out a way, Bill, Josh, whatever we got to do so to get close. This man a touchdown?
So close.
He had one last week. He had one. We called it back. I mean, I was celebrating with him. You know, we're all – I think the fantasy community was celebrating with Jacoby Myers. Finally got his touchdown. You know, we're all doing a dance. We're, you know, some people are breaking out the lawnmower, you know, maybe the sprinkler, whatever. You know, depends how old you are. I don't know.
Right. Maybe by some whip. People, you mean you.
Do the whip or the nene. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the kids are doing these days. So, anyways, if you look at Jacoby Myers, I mean, all the numbers are there. He's been an alpha. He's 12th in targets. He's 15th in target share with a 25% target share, running 53% of the snaps from the slot, which is eighth most among all wide receivers. He's still somehow a wide receiver three at 12.4 fantasy points per game, despite the fact that he has zero touchdowns on the season. He's 11th in receptions, 346 receiving yards as well. He's also top 36 in yards after the catch as well. So, if Jacoby Myers could start to find the end zone, that would be freaking fantastic. Darnell Mooney, you know, talked about Allen Robinson, but Darnell Mooney has a 27% target share in this offense, 11th most among all wide receivers. He's also top 28 in market share of air yards. This is an offense that just hasn't thrown the ball very much, so 31st in pass plays per game. But I think Darnell Mooney, you know, in this matchup again, this is a matchup that I kind of want to target with Tampa Bay. And then last but not least, I want to talk about Mecole Hardman. You know, he hasn't really hit ceiling. The best week he's had was wide receiver 19 against Buffalo. He's been running a lot of routes, especially the last 2 weeks, 39 and 35 routes run over the last 2 weeks. And, you know, this is a matchup against Tennessee secondary that I'm really not all that concerned with. So I like Mecole Hardman. I think he can be a wide receiver three. They've been utilizing him much more underneath. They really haven't been hitting the deep targets. You know, that's kind of been the whole narrative this year, that everybody's trying to take away what they do deep and take away the explosive plays. And, you know, the Chiefs finally started to adapt to that more last week against Washington. And so, you know, I think you see a lot of underneath stuff for Mecole Hardman to try to get the ball in his hands in space. You know, Josh Gordon hasn't become a thing yet. They haven't been willing to utilize him. He did not see a single target last week. So as things currently stand, Mecole Hardman, I think, makes for a decent, you know, kind of a flex option this week if you've been holding him or you're able to pick him up on waivers, because he was rostered in less than 60% of leagues. So that's kind of the wide receiver threes, I think, for us. Do you guys have anybody else in this group or beyond that you think are viable options this week?
One thing I didn't mention with Mecole Hardman, he gets Tennessee Titans, New York Giants, Green Bay Packers, likely without Jair Alexander. I know he can officially come off IR after week 8, so he might be back, but not going to be guarding him, obviously. Las Vegas Raiders and then Dallas. Like, that is a fantastic 5 weeks coming up, and I get it. It might be Travis Kelce and Tyreek taking most of that, but I do like Mecole Hardman as a flex option over these next 5 weeks. Really excited about him.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, we talked about him last week. Fantasy-wise, production-wise, disappointed last week if you started him. I started him in a couple of places, but he did see 7 targets. The Lions are still the Lions. They're going to continue to be playing from behind, you know, in a week against 6 teams on bye. Can be plugged back into your flex spot, obviously, again, with this matchup. Robbie, I know you said, you know, you were going to touch on Christian Kirk, touch on Rondale Moore. We can also talk about, you know, because, again, a Kyler Murray-led offense, A.J. Green. Like, if I would have told you going into the year, like, hey, A.J. Green is going to have 3 wide receiver 2 weeks, you're like, oh, okay. Like, on the whole year, I could see that. No, my friends. By week 6, 3 of his past 4 weeks, wide receiver 21, 17, and this past week, 15. Now, in this matchup against Houston, are they going to have to throw a ton? Who knows? But again, with all these teams on bye, you could be hit pretty hard with your wide receiver options this week. So
I will mention T.Y. Hilton. I have him at 38 this week. I do think against San Francisco, you know, I kind of like him as well. I have 4 receptions for 80 yards last week. Showed he still has something. He looks like he's going to be matched up against Josh Norman. So a battle of the aged vets, you know, in this matchup, Sunday Night Football. So, and then Brandon Ayuk. I apparently I'm the last that's available, the last of the Mohicans, if you will, on Brandon Ayuk's train. You know, I was surprised that he was actually available in the number of leagues that he is. He's rostered less than 60% of leagues. People have just washed their hands of Brandon Ayuk, and I think that's a mistake because I think Brandon Ayuk can get it back on track this week, coming off the bye. No George Kittle in this offense, which should open up a little bit more targets for Brandon Ayuk. No Trey Lance, and so I think that actually helps Brandon Ayuk. Because they're not going to have this mobile quarterback to be able to get out of the pocket and run and, you know, pick up yards on the ground and take away targets. So I actually think that if, you know, Indy can build a lead here in this game, that they're going to be forced to throw the ball more. And so I think Brandon Ayuk is going to be a beneficiary of that. So, you know, he's starting to run more routes, which is a positive thing to see, and playing more snaps. You know, the last couple of weeks, you know, really since week two, he's played 86% of the snaps, 68% of the snaps, and 72% of the snaps. And so, you know, I think you probably see him get a little more targets here. So I like Brandon Ayuk, and I think this could be a big Brandon Ayuk bounce back week. There's nobody in that Indy secondary that worries me whatsoever. That secondary is terrible. So other than that, you guys have anybody else?
Yeah, the guy I mentioned a little too early, we weren't ready to jump into what you guys have as kind of a flex option. I have him as a back-end wide receiver 3, Christian Kirk. He's only had one game under 50 total yards. He has 3 of his 6 weeks as a wide receiver 2. So that's absolutely fantastic. And now they get Houston, who can be scored against. I get it. There's a lot of options. There's Hopkins, there's Edmonds, there's Connors, there's Rondale Moore, there's AJ Green, you know, that Cody brought up, and Zach Ertz now gets added to the mix. There's a ton of options, but Christian Kirk, I think, has proven to kind of be the, if you could say, most consistent after Hopkins, with Rondale Moore kind of fading in and out. And I honestly think that Zach Ertz takes more of the AJ Green type of targets away. So I think they kind of siphon each other a little bit. So Christian Kirk is a guy that I'm going to have as a top 36 option against a team that they should score multiple touchdowns against. I think he is a guy that you absolutely need to have in your lineups this week. He's only had one dud game. I get he had the one catch for 5 yards. Outside of that, at least 50 total yards each game. So there is a floor there, and the upside is tremendous.
Well, with that being said, I think that pretty much wraps it up for week 7. Thankfully, it's over, okay? Thankfully, it's over. Let's get through this week, boys. Let's get through it. You know, we're going to get through it together. You know, you can think of it two ways. One, if you got all your bye weeks this week, we get it out of the way early. Week 7, it's out of the way. Now the rest of the season, we can focus on, you know, just locking things up, winning the chips, because that's what we're doing around here. Once again, be sure to join us tonight. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, for our live stream, our 3-hour live streaming extravaganza that is developed into every single week, where we answer every single question that we get, no matter what. We have sat here for multiple times for 3 hours on the live stream, answering as many questions as we possibly get. Trade, waiver, ads, it doesn't matter. You know, start sets, that's what we're here for. So be sure to lock it in. If you haven't already, if you've enjoyed this content, be sure to hit that like, hit that subscribe. That's all we ask. We really appreciate it. If you're into, you know, having a conversation, you know, showing people your fantasy teams, having some questions, you can join our Discord. The link is in the description below. Until tonight, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.